Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. What does communion mean to you? Why do you come here? Why are you here this morning? If you take the bread and the wine, what do you feel it has its meaning? And there are lots of answers to those questions. Maybe just because you were raised that you have to go to church on Sunday and get the sacrament. There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe you come and you feel that it's a part of how you kind of center your week. I often hear people who say, "If I don't go to church on Sunday and get communion, I just feel off kilter all week." Maybe this is a place where you come and you have the bread and the wine and participate in the sacraments, but really it's about the people and the music and the worship. It is something that most of us don't even think about, or at least we didn't until March 2020. For most Episcopalians across the country, the pandemic meant that no longer were people able to worship in person and receive the sacrament. It was very powerful when we could finally regather and we were allowed to give the bread. And I had more than one person say to me at Easter, the first time that they'd had the wine in several years, how surprisingly emotional it made them. Whatever it is that happens when you come forward, you have some sense of what Eucharist is. really, what is it all about? I have been preaching about Eucharistic Prayer C. This will be my last sermon about it. And really, the genesis of this sermon series is that this prayer, really, it's very thought-provoking. And when I am praying it as the priest at the altar, I'm thinking all these things about it. I'm reflecting on the words I'm saying. And I kept saying, oh, I'd love to tell everybody about that. And I went, oh, okay, let's do it. So today we get to a portion of the prayer that I have to admit, I've been praying this fairly regularly for 20 years. But there's a section right at the very end that it doesn't make me uncomfortable, but it makes me feel a little bit like it's a very heavy weight. We have said all the prayer, the vast expanse of interstellar space. We've come down to the intimate moment when Jesus gives the bread and the wine to his friends and says, do this in remembrance of me. And then our prayer has this sentence. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Now that is a sentence that doesn't really have a parallel in the other services, the other Eucharistic prayers. Most of what we've talked about in prayer C, it may be quite different, but it's all part of the same kind of formula. But this sentence, nearly every time I have prayed it, had made me want to stop and go, okay, let me wrap my hands around this, my head and my heart around this. Because when I asked you what communion means to you, what it is for you to come here and receive communion, maybe you are as I am. And I'm the first to admit that I come here thinking about what communion can do for me. The forgiveness of sins. The solace of a world that is broken, but here we are brought into Christ. But this isn't about coming here and doing an act that kind of you think about and then you leave and that's it for the week. What Howard Galley, the author of the prayer, really gives to us and makes us think more deeply is deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Those first two aspects, strength, solace and pardon, those are things that do happen in communion. But if that's where it ends, if once you get off your knees and go back to your pews, that's the end of it, we've missed what the sacrament is all about. What makes me pause at this phrase is that this calls us to say that communion is not just something that benefits us, but it challenges us, it commissions us to go out into the world as Christ's hands and feet. The presumption here is coming for what it means to me, but not allowing it to transform me. that transformation, that's hard for human beings. And there's a vulnerability in it. Jesus shows that by his life and his death. When we kneel here, we come not only for solace, but for strength. Strength to be able to do the work that only begins when we go out those glass doors. For solace, yes. But really, it is there for renewal. This is something that is a reminder every week or even more often that those words we say at the end of the service, go in peace to love and serve the Lord, they're not just words to kind of send you out to brunch. They are to take people who have been strengthened and renewed to go out in the world to be Christ's hands and feet, even if it makes others uncomfortable, even if it makes us uncomfortable. There's a part of me every time I pray this that just stops and goes, what is this really asking of me? And for me, that's one of the beautiful gifts of this prayer, that it gives us that challenge, that understanding, that commission. That communion is not just an act we do so that we're right with God. It is the body and blood of Christ within us, nourishing us, strengthening us, that we are renewed in our call as disciples to go and participate in the healing of a broken world. So for today, as I pray the prayer on our behalf, remember the priest is just saying all the words because it's a little bit difficult for us all to pray it together, but when I pray that prayer, I'm going to do the pause that I usually think in my head, but just keep going because I need to, you know, keep the service moving. And I hope in even that brief moment, you will join me in the discomfort of having a God that loves us so much, is willing to literally be taken into our bodies and souls so that when we go out those doors to love and serve the Lord, we are ready. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength. For pardon only, and not for renewal. Amen.